It has been said that space exploration can be boiled down to one single overarching idea, that it represents Earth exporting its biosphere, and it very much does. Where humans go, we tend to bring other Earth species with us, both intentionally and unintentionally. So here are 10 species from planet Earth that have landed on the moon. Number 10, Homo sapiens. One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. The most famous and often misquoted statement by Neil Armstrong. Often misquoted because his audio glitched while standing on the lunar surface. Represented the first time human feet ever stepped onto the moon. The culmination of a Cold War race and an overall desire for human achievement and landing on the moon resulted in a massive lurch forward into the space age. And then it stopped. After the Apollo missions, there were no further attempts for humans to land on the moon. It has returned to robotic exploration, but with a renewed interest. Lunar missions are common again, and a number of countries are now maintaining aspirations to return humans to the lunar surface, most noteworthy being the United States and China, either of which may well do it within a decade or so. And of course, private industry was just already landing robotic craft on the moon, and eventually humans. Perhaps earlier than the governments, and then on to Mars. But the most prominent species that is capable of transporting other species, no doubt this will lead to many other species from Earth also making their first landfall on the moon. The current number of humans that have been to the surface of the moon is 12. Number 9, many species of bacteria and microorganisms. It could be said that if life on Earth actually originated on Earth instead of, say, Mars, the best case for the first Earth life to land on the surface of the moon goes to the bacteria. The reason is simple. Material gets blasted off the Earth and impacts. That material can contain microbial life, and as a result, that life could get deposited on the surface of the moon. Whether it survives there is another matter entirely. It likely does not for long. But that's not the only way for bacteria to get to the moon. Another way is intentionally or unintentionally transporting bacteria to the surface of the moon through our probes. It's very difficult, especially in the past, to completely sterilize a spacecraft. Though modern launches to Mars do as thorough of a job as possible to prevent contamination. But otherwise, spacecraft launches work much like panspermia through rocks getting blasted off Earth. Life can always hitch a ride. But there is one other way that's worth noting, because it cannot ever be accounted for or eliminated in human space travel. The human gut biome, for which we depend on for digestion. Human gut flora have certainly been to the moon, and interestingly enough, returned to Earth inside the intestinal tracts of the astronauts. The human gut biome can have as many as 1,000 different species of microorganisms present in them. On its own, greatly expanding the number of species that have visited the moon. As a result, the current tally of microorganisms that have been to the moon is in the many hundreds of trillions just for the humans alone. Number 8, Arabidopsis. Arabidopsis is a large group of flowering plants related to the cabbage and other brassica vegetables. Sometimes called thale or rock cress, it actually is one of the most useful plants in space-based research because its biology is particularly suitable for experimentation. And indeed, it was one of the first plants to have its full genome sequenced. One of the benefits of the plant is that any changes that occur with it can easily be observed and recorded. It's also no stranger to space, but only artificially. Cosmonauts on the Soviet Union's Salyut 7 space station successfully grew it in orbit, to the point that it flowered and went to seed in space. More recently, Chinese Chang'e 4 lunar lander took seeds to the moon in 2019 as part of a student experiment. Unfortunately, the experiment ended prematurely, though it was still a success, more on that in a bit, and the seeds did not germinate on the moon. More recent work in 2022, however, actually got seeds on Earth from this plant to germinate in a lunar soil sample. The number of Arabidopsis seeds to reach the moon was at least one. Number 7. The lunar silkworm. Also part of the Chang'e 4 life experiment were silkworm eggs. The idea is simple. If you create a sealed biosphere on the moon, it essentially is a sealed canister that contains sufficient plant and animal life, and the idea is that the two should go into symbiosis as the plants produce oxygen and the animal life produces carbon dioxide. one of the animals involved were live silkworm eggs that, had they hatched, would have provided carbon dioxide for the plants. Unfortunately, this experiment did not last its intended lifetime, and temperatures dropped too low for the biosphere to remain viable before the silkworm eggs hatched. The number of silkworm eggs sent was several. Number 6. The potato. Another member of the Chang'e Lunar Microecosystem Experiment, potato seeds were one of the members of the plant side of the ecosystem. Here there was success in that the potato seeds did germinate and begin to grow before the ecosystem shut down. Potatoes are one plant that is very likely to be included in any future ecosystem in space for food production because of high yields, relative ease of growth, and a solid nutritional energy source. Interestingly, one plant that was not included in this experiment that seems very likely to end up being grown in space habitats is the hot pepper. It's long been noted that astronauts' taste buds while in space become muted, and food that would normally be flavorful becomes bland. One way of combating this culinary boredom on places like the International Space Station is by making food more spicy, specifically with hot sauce. So far, this has been transported to the station. But in a fully enclosed, self-sufficient ecosystem, growing peppers and dehydrating them and making hot sauce in space is probably going to be a major player in what gets grown in space. And the fact that with a very hot variety of pepper, very little can go a long way. The number of potato plants to germinate on the moon was at least one. Number 5. Yeast. This aspect of the Chang'e 4 experiment served a completely different function than the rest of the species included. While the others were specifically intended to produce the gases they mutually need, yeast was included to both provide a method of moderating those gases and to also aid in the decomposition of members of the ecosystem that died, and also waste produced by some of the members. In a full-on self-sustaining lunar colony that's growing its own food, decomposers like yeast will be integral in reincorporating, really recycling, nutrients back into the soil, and shows that not only do you need gas producers in mutual symbiosis, you also need some means of decomposition, but also water recycling in the closed system, though the moon does have deposits of water ice that can be mined and used for a colony without the need to transport much water from Earth. These deposits of ice tend to be inside craters that are in permanent darkness and never see sunlight, meaning that such craters are at the top of the list of just where to place a moon colony in the future. The number of yeast organisms sent to the moon is unknown, but was numerous. Number 4. Fruit flies. Filling your lunar colony with live fruit flies at first sounds like something you probably wouldn't want to do. But the Lunar Microecosystem Experiment did include fruit fly eggs. Being an insect, this was one of the more complicated organisms that were sent, and had the eggs had time to hatch, might have provided some interesting science, in that it's not completely clear how a fruit fly, born on the lunar surface in a low-gravity environment, might behave. Being a complex insect, this would have been perhaps the most interesting aspect of the experiment, because it went a bit further than the idea of growing plants on the moon, but insects, which is something closer to raising animals in a habitat, something that may not actually ever happen in practice for a number of reasons. Perhaps the most important reason is that we're already in the age of lab-grown meat, and it would seem eminently more efficient to culture meat in space than it is to raise cattle, which requires a lot of range and food. Still, the experiment would have been enlightening about biology in space in general, but again, the experiment failed 9 days into a planned 100-day experiment due to a failure in heating the experiment during the lunar night. The number of fruit fly eggs that have been to the moon is unknown, but there was at least one. Number 3. The moon trees. While no germination happened during the Apollo 14 mission, which was launched on January 31, 1971, located in the command nodule in lunar orbit were at the very least hundreds of tree seeds. While they were never actually on the surface, astronaut Stuart Roosa, a former U.S. Forest Service member, brought the seeds, and many of the trees did germinate when the seeds were brought back to Earth. The seedlings were planted all over the U.S. and worldwide, and many of them are still alive, no worse for wear from their lunar foray. There were 5 species involved, the loblolly pine, sycamore, sweetgum, redwood, and Douglas fir. Strangely, the seeds almost didn't make it because the container holding them burst open when the capsule was being decontaminated, and the seeds were basically scattered everywhere in the capsule and exposed to a vacuum. But they survived and germinated, and further trees were propagated from cuttings of the original moon trees. Oddly, there were so many moon trees given out that no account of them was ever done, and to this day no one knows where all of them ended up. There are almost certainly lost, unmarked moon trees that no one knows about. Number 2. Cotton. Perhaps the biggest success of the lunar micro-ecosystem experiment was a cotton plant that not only germinated from its seeds, it grew a pair of leaves. Not true leaves. Any gardener knows what these are, cotyledons, which in a nutshell are something like starter leaves to get a plant growing, and are the first leaves to appear when a plant germinates. Cotton will have some importance in space because cloth can be made from it. This may not so easily be done with synthetics, which it will be a long while before any space habitat maintains the capability to manufacture synthetic cloth. But also animal products, such as wool, are going to be prohibitive in all but the very largest, far future lunar colonies. As a result, for material from which to produce cloth, cotton is probably going to win, though it is possible to do it with other plants. The number of living cotton plants that have been to the moon is one. Number 1. The Great Tardigrade Moon Landing. The Beresheet probe was designed to be the first private lander on the moon. The mission was designed to deliver information first and foremost to the surface of the moon as a kind of time capsule or library. It contained 30 million pages of information, human DNA samples, and several thousand tardigrades, which are one of the toughest animals native to planet Earth, and one of the few that we already know can survive in a space environment, at least somewhat. Beresheet malfunctioned and crash-landed on the moon. The researchers involved actually think the library part of it has a good chance of having survived the crash, based on how the crash happened. The archive itself is not new. The same company actually sent an archive located in the glove box of Elon's Tesla, which contains such things as Asimov's Foundation Trilogy. Though that particular experiment used a data storage medium that isn't very long-lived. The one on the moon, however, is far more robust. The idea behind the tardigrades is that it is in principle possible to retrieve them and basically revive them in the future, something the tardigrade can do. Whether the tardigrades spilled out on the surface of the moon is unknown, but it's possible that the way they were stored allowed for the containment to stay intact. But it's also possible that there are dehydrated tardigrades, thousands of them, on the moon's surface. In fairness, however, these may not have been the first tardigrades to go to the moon. Earth very well may have sneezed them onto the lunar surface on its own, through impacts or some other means. And while the tardigrades can tolerate space to some degree, they can't do it and function normally and reproduce, so it's highly unlikely that any real contamination of the moon happened here. But the tardigrades now hold the record for complex Earth life, and that thousands of them have boldly landed on the moon, versus only 12 of their extremely distant human cousins. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently waiting for the tardigrade distress call, when they take the remaining components of the crashed spacecraft and build a transmitter, and we get a message someday that says, "Come get us." Very disturbing on many counts, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.